at several verses tonight in the book of Genesis. We'll begin with Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. As we look at these verses, we want to notice the phrase, building an altar. And in Genesis chapter 8, verse 20, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Genesis chapter 12, I'd like to read verse 7 and verse 8. Read here of Abram. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence to a mountain to the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. Genesis 13, verse 18, again have Abram or Abraham. Verse 18, then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. And then in Genesis chapter 22, again we read of Abraham. Genesis 22 and verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And then in Genesis 26, 25, we read of Isaac, Abraham's son, and he built in an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. And then lastly in Genesis 35, in verse 7, we read of Jacob, Genesis 35, verse 7. And he built an altar, and he built there an altar, and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. So again, in each of these verses, we read the phrase, builded an altar. Now, in the Old Testament, of course, the altar was an expression of belief in God. In each one of these cases, each man, of course, believed in God. It was also an expression of a personal need of God. In each one of these cases, each man was recognizing his own personal need of the Lord. It's also an expression of a desire for God. And again, in each case, when the altar was built, each man was expressing his not only his need of God, but also his desire for God. When these individuals built an altar, it was also an expression of submission to the Lord. And in each case, the individuals were submitting themselves to the Lord. And we know, of course, that an altar is a place where man would offer sacrifice. So in each case that we read of, these individuals were going to offer sacrifice unto the Lord. We also know that the altar was a place of, or an act of worship. In each case, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they each erected altars. They did so in various places, at various times in their lives, and under varying circumstances. And in each case, they were expressing again their belief in God, their personal need of God. They were expressing their desire for God. They were expressing submission to God, and they were worshiping the Lord, and they were offering sacrifice unto God. So each one of these is a picture of man worshiping God in everyday circumstances. We see in each of these cases, they did not go to a particular house of worship. All of these verses took place before the tabernacle. But we see that they simply worship God during the day. Didn't seem to matter what the circumstances were. Didn't seem to matter what was going on. They just stopped and they worshiped the Lord. Now, worship, of course, is something that the world knows very little about, and sad to say, something that many of God's people know very little about. A lot of confusion today concerning worship. Worship basically is the overflow of a grateful heart to God. The heart just overflows with gratitude toward God, and that individual has to worship. And worship is simply showing worth. It is showing the worth of God. It is declaring the worth of the Lord. So it's not something which has to be pumped up in us. It's something that just flows from a heart that's right with God. It's something that just flows from a heart that is grateful to God. It's something that just flows from a heart that is in love with God, and a heart that believes God, and a heart that realizes their personal need of God. When we have all of that, worship is natural. Worship proceeds from that kind of heart. Worship is the outpouring of a soul at peace in the presence of God. No one is going to worship if they do not feel at peace with God, if they do not feel the peace of God. Worship is, again, it's us ascribing worth to the Lord, that He is worthy. That He is worthy of respect, that He is worthy of reverence, that He is worthy of adoration, that He is worthy of praise. And is there ever a time, is there ever an event in our lives when God is not worthy of respect, when God is not worthy of reverence, when God is not worthy of adoration and praise? You see, God is always worthy, and therefore we are to always worship. And we need to be a people who worships God every day. In fact, I don't believe that we can really worship God on Sunday unless we've been worshiping Him through the week. You can't just fill up on the world all week long, stumble into the house of God, and worship. Worship takes preparation. But if we worship God all week long, if we worship God every day of the week, and we learn to worship God in varying circumstances, then when we come into the house of God, worship's not difficult. We've been doing it all week, and we know how to do it. So we need to learn how to worship, or we need to learn to worship God at all times, not just stated times. We know that God calls us to worship Him all through the Scriptures. We are called upon to worship the Lord. I mean, read through the Psalms and you see there are many calls to worship the Lord. Revelation 14 and verse 7, we read, "Fear God and give glory to Him. Worship Him. Worship Him who made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." Worship Him. And that ought to be our motto every day. Worship Him. Today I'm going to worship the Lord. This is just the opposite of the individual we looked at this morning. There was a man who paid no respect to God. There was a man who did not acknowledge God. There was a man who did not consult with God. We're to do just the opposite. We're to acknowledge God in every aspect of our lives. We're to always be acknowledging God, always to be realizing God, always to be realizing the presence of God. And when we do that, we can worship. And when we do that, we will worship. So we need to learn how to worship. We need to learn to worship God at all times in our lives. In other words, our lives ought to be a life of worship. To worship God, there's several things that must take place. This is true whether we're worshiping God in our daily circumstances or if we're coming to the house of God to worship. There are certain things that have to be so in order for you and I to worship God. There has to be a vivid realization of God. This is more than I believe in God. This is a vivid realization of the Lord's presence. That is, you feel His presence. You can't worship God if you don't feel His presence. You have to feel the presence of God in order to worship Him. So there has to be a vivid realization of His presence. If we're going to worship God every day, then every day we have to have a vivid realization that God is here. Again, this is more than I believe God. This is a realization. This is a sense that God is with me. And then there has to also be a realization of who God is. A lot of people worship God ignorantly. And you can't worship God ignorantly. You have to worship God in spirit and in truth. It's the only way you can worship God. So there has to be a vivid realization of who He is. And when we live in the realization of the sovereignty of God, that God is absolute, that God is absolutely in control of all things, when that is real to you, when you live in the vivid realization of that, you can't help but worship. You can't help but every now and then bow your head and thank God. When you realize the omnipotence of God, you can't help but worship. The problem today is people live more in the realization of luck and chance than they do the sovereignty and the omnipotence of the Lord. When you live in the vivid realization of the grace and mercy of God, when God's grace is real to you, when God's mercy is real to you, you can't help but worship Him. So these things have to be real to us every single day. When you realize how long-suffering that God is to us, and you realize the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God and the love of God, again, you can't help but worship. Worship is going to follow. But a problem is we do not live in the vivid realization of these things. But again, these things are necessary if we're going to worship the Lord. When you think upon the fact that God will never leave you, how can you not worship Him? When you think upon the fact that He'll never forsake you, that He'll never mislead you, that He'll never forget you, how can you not worship Him? Unless we're like, again, the man we looked at this morning, when we just do not acknowledge the Lord. We get so busy with everything going on in our lives that we forget the Lord and that we fail to acknowledge Him. And if we do not acknowledge Him, we can't worship Him. And that's our problem. People live all week long not acknowledging God or giving God very little acknowledgement, and then they expect to come into the house of God and magically worship is going to take place doesn't work. Never has worked that way. And it never will. When we think upon the fact that God is greater than all of our trials and all of our troubles, than all of our problems and all of our needs, when you begin to think of the greatness of God, again, how can you not worship Him? The problem is we're not thinking of these things. So to worship God every day means that, and again, when I talk about every day, I mean in everyday circumstances. In order to worship God in everyday circumstances, we have to live. In all of our circumstances, we have to realize God. We have to realize who He is. We have to realize His presence. We have to realize what He has done for us. And when we think about that, no matter what your circumstance, you'll worship. We need to train our minds. We need to be in the habit of acknowledging the Lord in all things. Again, it's a shameful thing when God's people say, "Whoa, I was lucky." You've robbed God. That statement robs the Lord of glory. You ought to bow your head and worship that God has blessed you. When you think of God's love embracing you before the foundation of the world, we claim to believe that the Lord loved us before the foundation of the world, that God chose us before the foundation of the world. If we really, truly realize that, you can't help but worship Him. I mean, worship is just going to happen. It's going to flow from a heart that realizes that God embraced me with His love before the foundation of the world, that He loved me so much that He chose me in Christ, that He loved me so much that He ordained me to eternal life. How can you not worship Him? If you really, truly believe, if you really, truly realize, God has ordained me to eternal life. It doesn't matter what my circumstances are. Nothing changes that fact. God has ordained me unto eternal life. I can worship Him. God has predestinated us to be called, predestinated us to be justified, to be His children, and to one day be glorified, to one day be just like Him. When we live in the realization of those things, circumstances will not get in the way of worship. So we have to realize these things in the midst of all circumstances. What it amounts to is we have to get our minds off ourselves and acknowledge the Lord. And when we do that, we can worship. When you and I begin to think upon what we deserve and what God has spared us from, how can you not worship Him? How can you not thank Him? How can you not rejoice? How can you not acknowledge Him when you realize these things? When you think of Christ going to the cross, that He was wounded and bruised and crucified in our stead. And again, no matter what my circumstances are, it doesn't change that fact. Nothing can change the fact of what Christ has done for me. Nothing can change the fact of who God is and what God has done. Nothing can change that. So I ought to be able to worship Him in all circumstances. And I'll be able to if I fully realize these things. When we think of what we were, and again, what we deserved, when we think of what we were and what we are and what we shall be, all because of His grace, again, how can you not worship the Lord? So we worship God in everyday circumstances and all the everyday happenings of our life. There has to be a reverence, a respect for God. We live in a society, of course, that is trying to eliminate God from everything. We live in a society that irreverences God on a daily basis, moment by moment. And if we're not careful, we buy into the philosophies of the world. And if we're not careful, we find ourselves doing the same things that the world does, and we fail to acknowledge the Lord. There has to be a reverence for God. There has to be a desire to exalt the Lord. This again, is why it's so important that we begin our day talking to the Lord. Before the world can talk to us, we need to talk to the Lord so we can get our mind going in the right direction. There has to be humility. If we're going to worship God, no proud person ever worships the Lord. There has to be humility. So if we're going to worship God every day, we have to have a spirit of humility. We have to have a spirit of thanksgiving. And what has killed thanksgiving, and I'm not talking about the holiday, what has killed thanksgiving is the entitlement attitude that almost everyone has in our society, and many of God's people have it as well, that they are entitled to certain. Well, if you're entitled to certain things, you don't need to be thankful. But don't you see, we're not entitled to anything. It's God's grace. And therefore, in order to worship God, we have to have a spirit of humility. If you have a spirit of humility, you will have a spirit of thanksgiving. Those two things cannot be separated. There'll be a spirit of joy. You worship God, there has to be a spirit of joy. There has to be an affection for the Lord, a love for the Lord. There has to be surrender to God. You can't worship God without surrendering to Him. So if we're going to worship God every day, we have to surrender to Him every day. You can't worship God and draw far away from God. In all worship, you draw closer to God. You have not worshiped if you have not drawn closer to God. If you come into the house of God and you leave here and you're no closer to God, this one thing you can know for sure, you did not worship. Because in all worship, you draw closer to the Lord. So if we're going to worship God every day, we have to draw near to God every single day. And there must be a tenderness of heart. We have to have a heart that is sensitive to the voice of God. We have to have a heart that is sensitive to the leadings of God. A hard heart will never worship the Lord. A heart has to be soft. The heart has to be tender if we're going to worship the Lord. And so many times we harden our hearts just to survive the world. But the problem is we also harden our hearts against God. So we have to maintain a tenderness of heart. Now, throughout the scriptures, there are several examples of individuals who took the time in their daily circumstances and their everyday happenings, they took the time to worship God. We see this in each of these cases where these individuals built altars. They each built an altar because they were overwhelmed with gratitude toward God. They built these altars because they felt that they had been blessed of God. And having felt that, the natural thing was to build an altar and to worship the Lord. I mean, Abraham built an altar almost everywhere he went. And then his son Isaac, he built an altar. Where do you think he learned that? From his father. And we need to be teaching our children to worship the Lord every day. To take time and just worship God every day. Notice in Genesis chapter 24. In Genesis 24, we see that Abraham said to Eliezer, the servant to whom he had given charge of his entire household, He told him in verse 4, he said, go into the country and my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Saying, I want you to go and I want you to find a wife for Isaac. Abraham at that time was living in Canaan. And for Eliezer to go into a strange place, a great distance off, and persuade a young woman to accept his offer of marriage to Isaac, it's no ordinary task. There's nothing easy about that. We read in verse 10 that he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. Traveled many, many miles. And we see when he got there, he reached a well just outside of the city. And Eliezer, not knowing how to go about finding a wife for Isaac. I mean, how do I do this? He's in a strange land. How do I do this? He began to talk to the Lord. He began to pray. He began to pray that God would give him some leadership, that God would give him some direction. He prayed that God would send a woman to the well. And he prayed that this woman would not only give him to drink, but also his camels. He set some conditions. Lo and behold, God sends Rebekah. And every detail that Abraham requested in prayer transpired. Everything. Everything that Abraham or Eliezer asked for, there it was. God answered his prayer. For leadership and for direction. And Isaac, or Eliezer, when he began to think upon this, notice verse 26 and verse 27. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. As soon as he realized that God had answered his prayer, we read that he bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. When was the last time when you knew God answered your prayer that you just stopped right where you were and worshiped God? That's what we need to learn to do. And that's what Eliezer did. The reason we don't do that many times is because we don't acknowledge God. Even when we pray and God sends us the answer and God gives us exactly what we ask for, we attribute it to something else. We would thank Rebekah. But Eliezer realized it was God that sent Rebekah. And he bowed his head and he worshiped. You see, it didn't matter where he was. His heart was overwhelmed. And he had to worship. And that's how it needs to be. Then we see that Eliezer went with Rebekah to her home and explained his mission to her family. And he found that her family was willing to let Rebekah go. This again was an answer to prayer. And then notice what we read there in verse 52 and 53. After this part of prayer is answered, it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, that is, they agreed to let her go and marry Isaac, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. I want you to notice it does not say when he heard their words, he immediately thanked them. It's not what it says. It says he worshiped the Lord. We ought to thank people. But first and foremost, you ought to thank God. And you ought to take time to worship the Lord. I think many times we get carried away in our thanksgiving to people and we forget all about thanking the Lord. So we see again, Eliezer worshiped the Lord. He bowed himself to the earth. And then in the book of Exodus, chapter 4, when God sent Moses and Aaron to tell the children of Israel that God had seen their affliction and that God was going to deliver them from their bondage, we read in chapter 4 and verse 31, and the people believed. They believed. They believed what Moses and Aaron were telling them, that God was going to deliver them. They had just received a promise from God, and they believed. And then notice the latter part of the verse. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped. It was the assurance that God was going to deliver them. It was the assurance that God was going to fulfill His word that caused these people to bow their heads and worship God. And you and I, during the day, we may come across a problem, a difficulty, and a promise of God comes to our mind, and immediately we have assurance that everything is going to be okay. When that happens, you need to take time right then and there and worship God. Thank the Lord. The truth is, when that happens, that ought to be our what we do automatically. Just take the time to worship the Lord. Then notice in Exodus chapter 12. Here in Exodus 12, we see that God instructs His people to answer their children when they asked the meaning of the Passover. They were to instruct them that this is the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel when He smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And then notice the result of all of this in verse 27. And the people bowed the head and worshiped. When they recalled God's deliverance, they worshiped. When they recalled how that God had put a difference between them and the Egyptians, they worshiped. You and I, we see many things in any given day. We see a lot of pitiful sights, a lot of pitiful people. When we see that, we ought to worship, because God has put a difference between us and them. And it's all by the grace of God. We'd be in the same condition. We'd be doing the same things if it were not for God. So we ought to worship. We ought to worship. You read of someone going to prison, you ought to thank God that's not you. Very well could be, were it not for the grace of God. When you see someone's life who is just in ruins, you ought to thank God. Not that their life is in ruins, but you ought to thank God that yours isn't. And realize that yours would be if it were not for the grace of God. So you see, every day we have opportunity upon opportunity. If we're acknowledging God, if we're living in the realization of God, we have opportunity to just worship the Lord. Doesn't take a long time, but we ought to be in the habit of worshiping the Lord. And then in Exodus 34, passage that we've preached from in the past, but in Exodus 34, we know that while Moses was alone on the mount with God, the people, of course, had made a golden calf and worshipped it, and God appeared unto Moses and instructed Moses and revealed himself to Moses and revealed his ways to Moses. And notice in verse 5, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Has that ever happened to you? When the Lord just comes down and stands right next to you and begins to reveal himself to you. Verse 6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste. He didn't linger. Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. You see, God revealed himself, and Moses worshiped. And I believe every single day, God reveals himself to us. The problem is, many times we don't see it. But God reveals his hand every single day. God reveals his love. God reveals his care every single day. And we get sidetracked on other things, and we get sidetracked with other issues. So sidetracked that we cannot even acknowledge God. But Moses made haste, bowed his head toward the earth, and worshiped. That's what we need to do. That needs to be our habit. Then notice in 2 Samuel chapter 12, 2 Samuel chapter 12, we know that God sent the prophet Nathan to David. He was sent to David with a message that the child which was born to him and Bathsheba would die. The child is going to die. David, hearing that, began to plead with the Lord. He began to plead with the Lord for the life of his son. He not only prayed, but we read also he fasted. He did this all night long. All night long he lay on the ground before the Lord, begging God to spare the life of his son. But the child died. The child died. The servants of David began to whisper amongst themselves, and they reasoned that since David was almost overwhelmed with grief because of the sickness of the child, David would not be able to bear the death of his son. But then notice in 2 Samuel 12, verses 19 and 20, but when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth, washed and anointed himself, changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. There we see, humanly speaking, David's prayer was not answered. Just the opposite of Eliezer. When you pray unto God and God does exactly what you prayed for, you need to worship God. And then when you pray unto God and God does exactly the opposite of what you prayed for, you need to worship God. You see, we won't have any problem doing that when we live in the realization God's sovereign, God's in control, God does what's best. When we live in the realization of that, we can worship. Doesn't mean that David wasn't sad. Doesn't mean that he didn't have grief. It simply means that in the midst of his sadness, in the midst of his grief, he took time to worship the Lord. That ought always be the case. We pray for something. We may plead with God. We may beg with God. You may stay up all night long, excuse me, praying, and God does just the opposite. When that happens, worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. You'll be much happier. Again, you can do the other. You can feel sorry for yourself. You can get angry with God. Is that going to make your life better? Is that going to relieve your grief and your sorrow? No. It's going to add to it. Worship the Lord. We need to learn to worship God in all things. And another good example, of course, is Job. And we'll close in the book of Job, chapter 1. We know that Job was a man who feared God. He eschewed evil. That is, he hated sin. Job 1 verse 8 tells us that there was none like him in the earth. Job was a spiritual man. Job was a godly man. So much so, again, that there was nobody else like him. But God, in the mystery of his providence, permitted Job to be deprived of everything. Of everything he possessed. He was deprived of all his earthly possessions. He was deprived of his children. He was deprived of his wife. She did not die, but she turned against him. He was deprived of his health. I mean, Job lost it all. All in a short manner of time. But in Job chapter 1 and verse 20, we read that he fell upon the ground and worshiped. We read that he rent his mantle and shaved his head, showing that he's overcome with sorrow. He's overcome with grief, but not so much so that he did not acknowledge the Lord. He fell upon the ground and he worshiped. When things do not go like we want it to go, worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. If you and I would look back on our lives, many times, if things would have gone the way we wanted them to go, we wouldn't be here today. God has been gracious in not granting us our way many times. And we see here that Job acknowledged God. Did Job understand it all? I doubt it. I mean, who would understand what happened? Nobody could understand that. Nobody could explain it. But Job worshiped. And many times things will happen that you cannot understand, but you worship. Things will happen that you cannot explain, but you worship. You see, Job acknowledged that God does all things well, no matter what it is. And that's true. And I know, and many times those are just words to a lot of people. But it's true. Everything God does, he does well. And everything God does, he does for our good. He does for our benefit. He doesn't do these things to destroy us, to ruin us. He does these things to help us. Whatever he does is right. It's one thing to say that. It's another thing to fully realize it. But everything he does is right. He does as he pleases. And what we have here with Job worshiping God in these circumstances is he was simply accepting God's ways. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to be able to explain it. But you do need to accept it. You do need to accept the ways of God. And then you worship. And then notice what he said in verse 21. He said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Nothing wrong with having sorrow, nothing wrong with having grief. The key is that you do not sin in your grief. That you do not sin in your grief. That you do not get carried away and out of your head in your grief. But that you realize the Lord gave. And when the Lord gave, he was good. He was good. The question is, when he gave, did you acknowledge him? When he gave you all of that, did you acknowledge God? Did you worship him? Did you thank him? In most cases, probably not. But the Lord gave. And the Lord is good in giving. The Lord was good when he gave us health. The Lord is good when he gave us family. The Lord is good when he gives us material blessings. He has the right to give. We don't deserve what he gives. He also has the right to take it away. And he's just as good in taking it away as he is in giving. Just as good. Don't have to understand it. Have to accept it. The Lord gave, and the Lord took away. And Job worshiped the Lord. So in all of these cases, we see individuals who just worship the Lord. In the very midst of their everyday circumstances. And we thank the Lord. We thank God for the opportunities that God gives us to come into his house and worship him. We thank God for appointed times of worship. But the best way to be prepared for the appointed times of worship is to worship God every day. In all circumstances, to worship God. We ought to rise in the morning worshiping God. When we go to bed at night, we ought to thank God. We ought to worship him. And then throughout the day, as things happen, we ought to bow our head and we ought to worship the Lord. And if that is our habit, and if that is our practice, can you imagine what the house of God would be like if everybody lived that way, Monday through Saturday? How easy it would be to worship the Lord on the Lord's day. I mean, we would come into the house of God, we would come to the appointed times of worship, and our hearts would just be bursting forth. But let's be honest. That's not how it is, usually. That's not how it is. People don't come into the house of God, their hearts just bursting forth with praise, because they haven't worshiped God all week long. They haven't acknowledged him all week long. And I don't care how hard you try, when you do not acknowledge God all week long, you cannot walk in that door and just turn it on. It's not going to happen. It can't happen. It's impossible. And then what we find ourselves doing is we just force the issue. And we find ourselves just going through the motions of worship. But deep down we know we haven't worshiped the Lord. Oh, that God would help us to worship Him every day. In all of our circumstances, that we would just worship the Lord. Perhaps we need to just stop and ask Him, Lord, I need Your help to worship You today. Lord, this has happened. I don't understand it. Help me to worship You. But we need to worship. We need to worship God every single day. And oh, what a difference it would make in our lives if we would just worship and acknowledge the Lord. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.